from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Now, how did that make you feel, Yankee fans? Good Monday afternoon to you, Evan and Tiki. The New York Yankees needed that. New York Yankee fans needed that. Carlos Rodon needed that. DJ LeMahieu needed that. Sean Morash needed that. Even Tiki Barber needed that. I understand they split against the Tampa Bay Rays. I get it. I understand the Yankees are 11-21 in their last 33 games, 32 games. I can't do math. That's the second worst record in baseball. But what you saw or heard on this Monday afternoon, that right there are the keys to the Yankees turning their season around, Teak.
Yeah.
Those players specifically need to be better. And for one day, they were better.
Yeah, and Rodon in particular, he 10 strikeouts in this game, went 7 full innings, and he felt like he was in command the entirety of the game, which is something we haven't seen. There weren't those early mistakes and early home runs or lack of control, putting guys on base and causing havoc for your defense behind you. So kudos to Rodon. But I think more importantly, you saw an offensive breakout of sorts. The problem, and I think most Yankee fans are probably feeling the same way, is you don't trust it. You don't believe that every game going forward, including this upcoming Subway Series with the Mets, is going to be crooked number after crooked number after crooked number.
Well, I do have good news for you. I do have positive news for you. And we'll get into the Mets. We have an abbreviated show. Spoiler alert. The New York Yankees are about to score 20 runs in these two games against the Mets. Because when you open up your damn mouth the way Luis Severino did and say, yeah, they only have two good hitters. Spoiler alert, more than those two guys are going to open up a giant can of whoop-ass at Yankee Stadium.
Yes, but then Sevy goes out and throws a gym.
Right. Well, but does that. Not against the Yankees.
But it doesn't matter. He's not tasked to pitch against the Yankees. He's tasked to pitch last week or 2 days ago against Miami. So he did his job. Give him credit.
He did do his job, and look, you bring up the ultimate point for the Yankee fan as they swallow this nice victory against Tampa Bay. DJ LeMahieu hit a home run. It's the first time DJ LeMahieu hit a home run since early September of a year ago. Anthony Volpe had two hits, including that awesome 12-pitch at-bat, and more importantly than maybe all of that, you saw Carlos Rodon dominate like you pointed out. The key to DJ LeMahieu and even Alex Verdugo, who got on base two times in this game, is it going to continue? Because here's the reality. I understand that we are now a little over a week away from the trade deadline. And the New York Yankees should be very active. They should be very aggressive. No doubt. We will probably spend a lot of time over the next week talking about specific names, talking about who they should go after, talking about who you're willing to give up, and blah, blah, blah. But the reality for the Yankees is, in conjunction with making smart trades, if they are going to go anywhere, if they are going to win the American League East, and they are still right there at a game and a half back, then those guys we just talked about need to be better. DJ LeMahieu can't be washed. Alex Verdugo can't be awful like he's been over the last month and a half. Carlos Rodon can't be the guy who can't pitch in New York. All of those things need to change. Like, adding guys at the trade deadline, which is important, and it's exciting, and it can certainly help you win a championship like we saw with Atlanta a few years ago. That's not the end-all, be-all. The most important thing are the guys we're talking about And that's why today was such a good redemption victory for the Yankees, because a lot of these key guys who have struggled were really good in this game. They need to be better for the next few months.
Right. I think most importantly, the pitching needs to be better. We saw it two days ago with Nestor, who was horrendous, giving up too many hits and too many home runs. When this offense gets behind, they're good still, but they press. Right. And they try. It's like they're trying to win games with swings as opposed to playing smart baseball like they did today. And the reason you can do that is because you get an early lead.
Right.
And so I think Susan said this. Maybe it was Justin. I can't remember which one of them said it on the radio broadcast that I was listening to. When this team doesn't get behind early, they play so much better. It's almost as if the psychology of mounting the comeback becomes undoable for them. And they start pressing too hard. They start, you know, swinging at bad pitches, and it's everyone except for Judge and Soto. And so, to me, the pitching is what's got to be right, and especially early. Early in games, they can't afford to give up home runs and get behind, because they offensively, they can't play under composure and for whatever reason, except for Judge and Soto.
Well,
and that's frustrating.
The stats back you up, because during this stretch of baseball that the Yankees have played, where they've been a bad team for over a month, it's really been their starting pitching more than it's been the offense. Like, I think we spend more time blaming the offense, mm-hmm. more time complaining about DJ LeMahieu or complaining about Alex Verdugo. But the reality is this rotation hasn't been good enough. Now, Carlos Rodon giving you a performance like today against Tampa Bay, it's encouraging mm-hmm. moving forward. Marcus Stroman, Nestor Cortez, they need to be better. There's no doubt. Nestor was terrible the other day. Marcus Stroman hasn't been the same guy as he was to start this season. But I still look at this Yankee team at 60-42. And even though a lot of Yankee fans look at them and say they're bad, they stink, they're heartless, fire the manager, they are not this bad. They're just not. I know I've been saying that for weeks, so it's frustrating. Well, eventually they are this bad. I don't think they are this bad. And what you hope for from a game like today against Tampa, which I thought was an important game, look, there are games in a baseball season, there is 162 of them I know, that are just a little bit more important than others. In fact, I think the Mets have one of those coming up in about an hour and 50 right. minutes. We'll address that later.
Kind of similar situations.
I could totally agree. You're coming out of the All-Star break. Mm-hmm. You need to get a split. You wanted more than a split coming in, but going into that wraparound Monday, you need to win a baseball game. And I think the Mets are going to play a very important game, and we'll get to it later. I think the Yankees were playing a very important game today. You can't lose 3 out of 4 to the Tampa Bay Rays. You can't kind of erase the good feelings that you were starting to build from winning 2 out of 3 against Baltimore, the dreadful loss before the All-Star break, but then you come out of the break with a good victory and your team scoring runs. I thought this was really, really important, but if the Yankees are going to go on the run that I have expected them to go on for a while, it really starts with the guys that broke through today.
Yeah. No, I think you're right about it, but I think the other thing, it's two separate situations with the Mets, which we'll get to in a minute, and then the Yankees. I think the Yankees, whatever was going to happen post All-Star break, are going to make adjustments to this roster. Right? There's going to be some move made, right? Some acquisition made. Whereas with the Mets, it kind of was dependent upon how they came out for the next week and a half. But I think the Yankees are sitting in position to compete, even if they were continually struggling. You know what I mean? And so to me, this series that we just saw against Tampa Bay, the one going in the Mets, they're important to get them feeling good. But when you look at it, no matter what would have happened, they were still going to be double digits over 500, right? They were still going to be in position to make the postseason. This feels good, but it just reinforces what we've been saying. Pitching matters. And so if there's a target for the Yankees going into the trade deadline a week and a half from now, to me, it's starting pitching. And you hope that Clark Smith comes back. You hope that you have so many options that you don't have to.
Well, I think
you don't have to overthink it.
I think it's multiple things for the Yankees, and that doesn't mean they can't solve that. Like, I think they need to add multiple pieces. That's why.
But multiple seems like it's not doable.
Well, of course it's doable. The Braves did it 2 years ago, or 3 years ago.
Are the Yankees a team that does this?
Yeah. I think they could add multiple pieces.
But
absolutely.
That's my point. They haven't done it.
Well, they've done it before, sure. Mm-hmm. A couple years ago, they added both Joey Gallo and Anthony Rizzo.
Come on.
I know that's not the example that excites you. But
no, that's not what I'm talking about.
But you know what? Like, I've heard this discussion amongst Yankee fans over the last couple of days. Are we willing to give up this player or that player? The reality is, if I'm giving up a top prospect, I'm doing it for a star player.
Yes.
I don't think the Yankees need to trade for a star player. The Yankees need to, as I mentioned, have their own guys play a lot better. That goes without saying. We saw it a little bit today. Mm-hmm. Gleyber Torres didn't start today, but he certainly fits that bill. And they need to then add smart bit pieces. Another starting pitcher for depth? Absolutely. Another arm out of the bullpen? Sure. Another guy who can play middle infield spots? Hey, yeah, why not? But they don't need to add stars. The Yankees aren't looking for a savior. Their saviors are the ones that are in the building right now that need to play better around Aaron Judge and Juan Soto.
Yeah, I don't know. A savior starting pitcher might sound good to me. I'm just saying.
Well, but look, hold on, though. If you can add a top-line starting pitcher like Skubal from the Detroit Tigers, I'm not saying don't do it. I'm saying it's not the end-all, be-all right now.
It's not, but you would feel so much more comfortable because we know this. Look, I think Volpe's going to be fine, ultimately. I think Verdugo, no, he's not going to turn out to be great. I think he's going to be fine as they go along.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
The one person you worry about is DJ LeMahieu. Now, hopefully he comes out of this. If not, you got Cabrera there. You know, as an option to play third base for you. So to me, I think the bats are going to be fine. It's just they press when they get down early. Mm. So to me, the key that locks this thing up for them, or unlocks it, I should say, is to not be behind early. And that to me is starting pitching. Now, maybe it's a backwards way to look at it, but I feel like every game that they get behind early, they struggle to hit, and it's really just Soto and Judge.
Yeah,
right. And so if they can stay on par or be ahead, I trust starting pitching a lot more.
Now, one of the guys you mentioned that is very, very important to the Yankee turnaround offensively is DJ LeMahieu. Mm. DJ LeMahieu hit a home run in the fifth inning. You could tell by DJ's face, he was even surprised. Like, he was almost stunned as he was rounding the bases. Yankee fans didn't know how to react because they were booing him in the third inning after he struck out. I thought that was a really good, important moment for DJ LeMahieu, an important moment for the Yankees. It turned a game that at the time was 4-1. It made it 5-1. Everybody's happy. Did you see what Sean Morash did in the eighth inning when he struck out on an 0-2 pitch?
I did not.
Cursed him out.
You cursed him out?
Yeah.
I've had enough. Sit down.
He hit a home run a few innings earlier.
Was that under your breath or was it out loud?
No, it was out loud. As a boss walked by and they said, calm down.
Well, I mean, because you freak it out over a strikeout in the eighth inning in which the Yankees have the game in hand.
Oh, wait, I did that because it was so far outside of the zone.
It was 15 feet outside the zone.
That was a bad swing.
I'm happy he hit the home run today. DJ LeMahieu's become a lost cause at the plate. And I don't think one nice hit today changed. I hope it does. But as we've seen all weekend, I know it was in a split, Oswaldo Cabrera seemingly is in the middle of every offensive rally, and that is exactly the guy that should be playing third base every single day, until they find another third base.
He had a good day today, had two more hits, hit the ball hard one other time. All right, let's go through the guys that are so important to turn this season around and kind of taste the confidence level from the Yankee fan. We'll hear from you coming up as well, 888-808-1019. We'll start with DJ LeMahieu. I think Sean just said it. You have no confidence in DJ LeMahieu despite a home run today?
No confidence. However, I think he is still the perfect guy to keep on this team, come in, play for Ben Rice defensively if Rizzo never comes back. I don't want him off the team, but he should not be an everyday player.
He should not be guaranteed everyday at bats.
That's all I'm asking.
No, and I by the way.
But don't you feel like he's getting it?
I mean, he didn't yesterday.
I mean, that's what
but
Boone says.
Yeah, that's the part that's frustrating. All of these other teams I don't want to care about winning. When a guy is struggling, the Astros dump Jose Abreu, okay? All I'm asking for the Yankees, you don't have to go to that extreme with these veterans. But don't guarantee
that. No, I actually agree with that opinion on DJ, and I have more confidence in him than you, which I'll explain in a second. But I do agree that there are certain guys in this town right now who have lost their ability to have their name written down in the lineup every single day. It doesn't mean they need to be DFA'd or cut. I think Jeff McNeil fits that on the Mets side.
100%.
Go hit, you'll play. The reason I have a level of confidence in DJ LeMahieu is the same reason I had confidence coming into this season. He had such a good second half last year. And I get it. Nobody was paying attention. The Yankees were buried. It didn't matter. I thought he was finally healthy. So my thought is, if he can somehow get healthy, and I don't know if he's healthy, he's playing, doesn't mean he's actually healthy, then I don't believe he's necessarily cooked. And that's a common belief that Yankee fans have right now. Oh, he's 36, he stinks, he's old, he's done. He's the president, he should just resign. You know what I mean? I'm not there yet with him, because I think, you didn't think we were going to bring some analogies to the table, by the way? I mean, it was historic yesterday.
All right.
I'm sitting there watching the Mets and the Yankee game. All of a sudden, it's LBJ 40 years later.
Wait, was this Sean or was this the Mets chat that we're talking about DJ's press conference that he was having before the game?
Oh, that was Sean.
Oh, I was Sean. I was excited yesterday.
DJ LeMahieu was having a press conference before the game, and Sean thought he was pulling a Biden. He was dropping out.
Yes. I was so excited yesterday morning. Give me more pancakes. LeMahieu's retiring.
And he wasn't. He was just talking about himself.
Right, exactly.
Where's your confidence in him? See, I think he turns it around.
I mean, only because it's not live or die, not literally baseball-wise, because there are 18 games over 500. I actually have to agree with Boone. You have to give him at least another couple of weeks to figure it out.
Well, he may not have a couple of weeks. He may have a week, because if the Yankees make additions before the deadline.
Sure. I mean, what is the deadline? It's 10 days?
July 30th. So what are we, 8 days away?
Eight days away.
So he's got 8 days for me.
All right, number two, Carlos Rodon. I have gone on record. I don't think he can handle the pressure in New York. I stand by that. So I do not have great confidence in him. I tip my hat to his performance today. He was dominant. It was one of the best we've seen from him. I do not have the confidence in Carlos Rodon moving forward today.
This All-Star break, he went and got a lot of hand massages, just took care of the muscles in his wrists and his fingers. And he had better grip and control of his four-seamer and everything else he was throwing. Because he was dotting it today.
Yes.
And you hadn't seen that in his last three or four outings.
Complete command.
Complete and utter command. So whatever he did over the All-Star break was absolutely what the doctor ordered.
So you believe in Rodon?
After today, how can you not?
Well, I just told you.
It was tons of swing and
misses. Good start.
It was tons of placements. Yeah, but this is what you saw early in the season, too. So he had this little bit of a he was lost. He was in this black hole for, a month or so. But other than early and then today, I think he's looked really good. And I trust what I saw today.
Yeah, I fully expect that his next start against Boston will end badly. And there will be a reversal in belief on him. So that's just where I'm at. I have more confidence in DJ LeMahieu than I do Carlos Rodon.
I have confidence in him starting every 5 days in the regular season and not killing the team like he was a month ago. But I would never, ever, ever hand the ball to him in a playoff game. I've seen enough from that.
I tell you, the guy I also have no confidence in.
His process changed today. It just felt like it.
It is. But
I'm not just going to throw a fastball. I need a strike. I'm throwing a fastball. Guess what? They know that too, buddy.
Tiki, this start he had today could be every 5 days from here until the end of September. The moment he takes the mound in October, we will all gulp and gasp and hope for the best.
No, I kind of agree with you.
You're probably right, but that doesn't mean that I don't have faith in him.
Oh, it definitely does for me. And for Sean over there.
You're not a Yankee fan.
All right, let's get to number three. This guy I've got no faith in, and I've got a reason you don't even know. Alex Verdugo. Here's the problem with Alex Verdugo. Now, he's better than the way he's performed over the last few weeks. He messed with the wrong guy. He messed with Tommy Lugauer. He comes in, he steals Lugie's shtick about their dogs. T-shirts are made, and I don't know if you've seen this, Lugie's red hot lately. So my belief is Alex Verdugo has touched the third rail of New York City, and that is the red hot Tommy Lugauer. I think Verdugo's finished.
By the way, that was unnecessary to go down that dogs and dudes route. So I don't say he's finished, but...
You agree with me?
I want to say I just love him defensively.
You can't say that recently.
That's what I mean. After that bad error at the end of the, right before the All-Star break, I can't even say that. But I just don't have faith that he's going to turn back into the hitter. But I do think he's a good defensive left fielder for the Yankees.
I'm in full-blown, make sure Jason Dominguez is healthy in September mode with Alex Verdugo. And that's it. You're not owed anything. You're a free agent at the end of the year. I think he's still good in this
clubhouse. So you want Dominguez to come up and play in the postseason?
I want him to get healthy.
And play in the postseason.
Yep, I want a month of at-bats from Dominguez, show enough, and I need his bat instead of Verdugo's in the postseason.
Here's the deal. The Yankees won a game today. It was a very important game. They're within a game and a half of the American League East right now. If the New York Yankees are going to erase the last month in which they have played garbage baseball. Yes, they'll make deals in the next 8 days. Yes, we will talk about them. These guys that performed today, DJ LeMahieu Anthony Volpe, to a smaller degree, Alex Verdugo, Carlos Rodon. They need to be the catalyst for the turnaround. We'll get your calls on your confidence level in that. Now, we are going to let a caller bring this up, but the Yankees and Rays over the last few days decided to have a contest with each other. A little contest. You know, baseball's boring, I guess, over 162. So they decided, hey, you know what we're going to do to spark things up a little bit? We're going to have a who can run around the bases slower competition after we hit a home run. Now, I'll be the first to tell you, the Tampa Bay Rays started it. According to a guy who was at the game today, and we'll let him kind of set the table, he wanted the Yankees to finish it. So, Anthony in Tarrytown, I hope you had a wonderful afternoon at Yankee Stadium. What did you want the Yankees to do in the midst of this wonderful, slow-walking competition?
I had a great afternoon at the game. I was three rows behind the Yankee dugout.
Nice.
And the first half, I was Siri. I understood that the game is still tight. You can't hit him. But the second at bat, we're up by four runs. Hit the guy, you know, send the message, and then he hits a home run. I think I instigated because I started cursing him in Dominican Spanish. And he hit a home run. And the second thing about Boone, with his horrible play management today, if DJ hits a home run, we're up by like seven, eight runs. Why are you telling the guy to bunt? Let him get some swings, build his confidence back up. Because one thing about DJ is when he's consistent, he's consistent. I'd rather keep him and get rid of Glaber because he can play second and third, and when he's consistent, he's consistent. Glaber's too worried about his highlights and his hair, you know, instead of playing baseball.
And Glaber continues to have those moments in the field like we saw Sunday that just drive you absolutely nuts. But let's start with this Jose Siri thing. So for those that didn't see it, because maybe on Sunday, once you heard the president was dropping out, you quickly flipped off the YES Network and CW11. And you're like, you know what? I'm going to Fox News or MSNBC or CNN or whatever crap you watch. And you have no idea what was going on in the games. Because I am convinced that's what happened to like 80% of people yesterday. They got the news on their phone. And they're like, okay, I'm out. I need to see what's happening. So Jose,
this is a little bit more important.
A little bit. And fascinating because we've never experienced
it. No.
And I don't even think it's anything like 1968 if you want me to break it down. Because LBJ, let me just say this.
Mm-hmm.
LBJ, when he made his speech, I will not serve, I will not, you know, the whole thing. He gave a reason why. He said, look, I got to concentrate on Vietnam. Because you used to call it Vietnam.
Vietnam.
I got to concentrate on Vietnam. I will not serve. I will not all that. This guy wrote a letter and disappeared.
We still haven't heard
from him. We need an address. We need a dramatic address.
It is Monday. Maybe Tuesday.
I got to wait till Tuesday?
I don't know.
I thought we were getting it yesterday.
So did I.
So that's number two.
And I was punished for deleting Twitter after a Ranger loss.
This one's worse.
Good point.
Fair point.
Yes.
So Jose
Siri. You've
already
been punished, so can't. Sorry. No take backs.
Exactly. You've already served your punishment. And just because the president did it doesn't make it okay. All right. Trust me. So Jose Siri, it's a home run on Sunday, and he decides to take an hour and a half rounding the bases. And this was very, very noticeable. I was spending my Sunday with like multiple TVs on. So it's tough to really fully concentrate on a game when you do that. But I glanced over when Siri was rounding the bases. And I said to my son, what the hell is this? And he's like, what, Dad? And I unmuted it. I'm like, what the hell is going on?
Yes. And what were they saying about it?
I mean, Paul O'Neill and Mike, okay, we're not thrilled about it.
I know, but did they say something about this? I don't know, whatever.
I forgot what they said yesterday, but on today, both were pretty upset about it. And my reaction to Siri's home run yesterday is a little different than what he did today. Because when he hit the home run in the fifth inning, he also took his time. And I actually agree with something Kay said on the broadcast, which is, dude, you're getting your ass kicked. Like, why are we pimping a home run when you're losing? But the Yankees responded in kind. Like, the Yankees hit five home runs in this game. And I'm not saying it's because they were annoyed at Jose Siri, but they obviously were somewhat annoyed because Austin Wells and Anthony Volpe took an hour and 10 minutes rounding the bases. So the question is, do you just want to play the game with them or do you want to get pissed at Siri and drill him? Now, I am convinced, even though Paul O'Neill thinks I'm wrong, in the ninth inning, with this game well decided, Randy Arozarena got drilled. I think it was on purpose.
You mean just now?
Yeah, at the end of the game, yeah.
I don't know. It looked like he was trying to throw something up and in. It missed a little bit. It didn't hit him solid enough. And they thought it hit his arm guard on the back of his tricep, but it actually hit his forearm, his left forearm. So, I mean, it was so barely connected to him. I can't say that it was intentional.
But, Tiki, keep this in mind. Even when you don't hit a guy, doesn't mean you weren't trying to hit a guy. See, Sean Estes, you know? Like, just because Jake Cousins didn't throw the best bean Randy Arozarena pitch doesn't mean it didn't happen.
I just didn't feel like that was intentional. It just felt like it was a mistake. Now, it felt good from a Yankee standpoint.
Well,
hit a Rosarita. Who cares?
Yeah. By the way, stay tuned for Baseball Night in New York, presented by Tri-State Cadillac, coming up next on SNY. That was a very quick show.
Thank you, SNY.
But that's the Yankees' fault, all right? They played a long game against the Rays. What can I tell you?
3 hours almost.
See you later, SNY. I'm sure we'll see you tomorrow for Mets-Yankees at the Hard Rock. Oh, wait. Maybe we won't. The reason I thought it was on purpose, though, is because this was the final regular season meeting between the New York Yankees and the Tampa Bay Rays.
No retaliation available.
There's no retaliation available if you're drilling a guy in the ninth inning.
Great point.
With a 9-1 lead. And I think it's sneaky, but I think it's smart. Because I think if you're Aaron Boone, you don't want to get involved in any kind of beanball war.
And Tampa's probably cooked.
Yeah, they're not making the playoffs.
No, they're way out of the wild card right now. They're cooked.
And they're going to sell, too. Right. They're going to sell pieces off. So you're not even seeing them in the playoffs. Even if you did, by the way, I don't think you would see any kind of retaliation then. So I think that was the Yankees saying, you know what? I know we got the last lap because we had 5 home runs in this game. I know we Cadillac'd it around the bases. I get all that. But we're going to give you one final dig by drilling you. So I thought that that was on purpose. Am I crazy?
Maybe it was, but to me it didn't look like it was on purpose. You know what I mean? Like maybe he was trying to go up and inside and hit him. But the way that the ball kind of started in and it drifted out, it looked like it was on accident.
Mm.
But maybe it was on purpose. Who knows?
I also think, and
maybe
I'm not...
that's the skill. The skill is making an intentional beaning look like it was an accident.
Absolutely.
And I give him credit.
You never ran into somebody accidentally at a bar just to try to get her phone number?
All the time.
I mean, Louie's an expert on that. You try to make it look like an accident.
Here's what you do.
You all right? You okay?
You knock the drink over.
So you have to buy her another one?
Bingo.
Ooh.
That's effective solid. When you did that strategy?
Of course. They get a free drink out of it. You start a conversation. Damage.
Let's go to Jay in Tom's River. What's up, Jay?
Yo, Evan can never say the word pimping ever.
Why?
It's the whitest thing I ever heard in my life.
Sorry, big pimping.
Like, it was when he was talking about, you know, he shouldn't be pimping because, you know, they're up 8 runs. But it was just, he shouldn't be pimping because he's up 8 runs. It's, you know.
What if right now I started singing Big Pimpin' by Jay-Z? Would that bother you?
Oh, my. I mean, it would probably be fantastic radio, but, you know.
Is your problem with it, Jay, is that he puts the G on the end?
Yes.
Pimping.
Yes. It was like a hard G, you know?
He shouldn't be pimping.
Let me try this. Big Pimpin', we spendin' cheese. Big Pimpin' on BLAD, we doing Big Pimpin' up in NYC. I don't know how much I can actually say.
Just be careful. Hova didn't have FCC.
No, I'm stopping.
Now, how big a Met fan are you, Evan?
I think I'm a pretty big Met fan.
Whose walk-up song was Big Pimpin'?
Oh, I know. That's easy. Derek Bell.
No.
Derek Bell.
Jay Payton.
Derek Bell.
Jay Payton.
Derek Bell.
It was also Derek Bell.
Derek Bell.
I don't know.
It's 1,000% Derek Bell. Google it.
I don't think Google exists for that kind of
answer. Watch this. I'm going to Google what was Derek Bell's walk-up song, Mets. And here it is. Big Pimpin'. Shut up! Trying to stump me on that.
Who are you saying?
He said Jay Payton.
Jay Payton.
What was Jay Payton's walk-up song?
Let me look that one up.
According to this, we all make mistakes.
That would be awesome if Sean was dead-ass wrong.
No, he's definitely dead-ass wrong. I don't remember what Jay Payton's walk-up music was. But I'm pretty sure it wasn't that because...
I got to think I'm wrong now.
No, you're definitely wrong because here's how...
You were so confident. You hit him so confident.
It's so random, too. I learned about...
But I knew a Met was that.
I learned about music through walk-up songs, you see? So Big Pimpin' became one of my favorite songs because of Derek Bell.
Yeah, Jay...
And that's a true story.
Jay is right. Jay couldn't have been more right at that call.
Oh, so you're saying I can't say pimping?
You learned about Big Pimpin', that song, from walk-up song.
Yes,
that
correct.
That was one of the biggest songs of whatever year that was, 2000, something like that.
Yeah, it was 2000 because Derek Bell was on the Mets that one year.
I wanted to own a boat after that music video.
Exactly.
And that's why Derek Bell had it as a walk-up song.
You didn't, you didn't have G's to spin.
No,
I wasn't even employed by Subway.
Derek Bell lived in a boat, true story, right outside of Shea Stadium on that little water basin near LaGuardia Airport. But yeah, Tiki, I learned about music through Met walk-up songs. What's wrong with that? That's how I became, you know, music savvy. Except I'm not music savvy. I'm convinced one day, and I don't know who it's going to be. I'm not sure what player it's going to be. I'm not sure the situation. Somebody's going to hit a home run. And to top everybody else by celebrating, they're going to strip naked as they are rounding the bases. And I'm not sure who's going to do it. But that's going to be like the next evolution in celebrating a home run. Like you get to second base and you just rip your clothes off. You know what was going on this weekend? People were doing the Trump celebration. Did you see that one?
No.
Yeah. I saw the Cardinals do it, and I saw somebody in the Yankee game do it.
And the Rays did it.
Didn't they say it wasn't a celebration? It was a birthday celebration.
Well, who said that?
The Cardinals. Somebody with the Cardinals said that.
They were holding their ear while pumping their fist saying, fight, fight, fight.
I thought for a second Austin Wells did it today, too, by the way.
He may have. I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe this is going to become a thing. But I did see a Ray player do it where he puts his fist up and he goes, fight, fight, fight.
Speaking of home runs and Trump, sort of, did you guys see who homered yesterday? Of course.
Nick Castellanos?
I mean, this guy, he never fails. Anytime there's a situation like this, Castellanos homers.
I don't understand, like, the fascination with this anymore. Like, so Nick Castellanos, for those that aren't aware, for background, I guess, when Tom Brenneman was suspended for saying, you know, like, abhorrent language.
Yeah.
In the middle of his apology, Castellanos hit a home run. Became a very legendary moment. That he added the awkwardness to Tom Brenneman apologizing by hitting a home run. And you've got Tom Brenneman saying, and there's a drive to left field. Like in the middle of trying to save his broadcasting career. And so this has now become a thing that whenever something in the world happens, Nick Castellanos hits a home run.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
No idea what was going on in the games, because I am convinced that's what happened to like 80% of people yesterday. They got the news on their phone, and they're like, okay, I'm out. I need to see what's happening. So Jose...
This is a little bit more important.
A little bit. And fascinating, because we've never experienced
No.
And I don't even think it's anything like 1968, if you want me to break it down. Because LBJ, let me just say this.
Mm-hmm.
LBJ, when he made his speech, I will not serve, I will not, you know, the whole thing. He gave a reason why. He said, look, I got to concentrate on Vietnam. Because he used to call it Vietnam.
Vietnam.
I got to concentrate on Vietnam. I will not serve. I will not all that. This guy wrote a letter and disappeared.
We still haven't heard from him.
We still haven't heard from him. We need an address. We need a dramatic address.
It is Monday. Maybe Tuesday.
I got to wait till Tuesday?
I don't know.
I thought we were getting it yesterday.
So did I.
So that's number two.
And I was punished for deleting Twitter after a Ranger loss.
This one's worse.
Good point.
Fair point.
Yes.
So Jose
Siri. You've
already
been punished, so can't. Sorry. No take backs.
Exactly. You've already served your punishment. And just because the president did it doesn't make it okay. All right? Trust me. So Jose Siri, it's a home run on Sunday, and he decides to take an hour and a half rounding the bases. And this was very, very noticeable. I was spending my Sunday with like multiple TVs on. So it's tough to really fully concentrate on a game when you do that. But I glanced over when Siri was rounding the bases. And I said to my son, what the hell is this? And he's like, what, Dad? And I unmuted it. I'm like, what the hell is going on?
Yes. And what were they saying about it?
I mean, Paul O'Neill and Mike, okay, we're not thrilled about it.
I know, but did they say something about this? I don't know, whatever.
I forgot what they said yesterday, but on today, both were pretty upset about it. And my reaction to Siri's home run yesterday is a little different than what he did today, because when he hit the home run in the fifth inning, he also took his time. And I actually agree with something Kay said on the broadcast, which is, dude, you're getting your ass kicked. Like, why are we pimping a home run when you're losing? But the Yankees responded in kind. Like, the Yankees hit five home runs in this game. And I'm not saying it's because they were annoyed at Jose Siri, but they obviously were somewhat annoyed because Austin Wells and Anthony Volpe took an hour and 10 minutes rounding the bases. So the question is, do you just want to play the game with them, or do you want to get pissed at Siri and drill him? Now, I am convinced, even though Paul O'Neill thinks I'm wrong, in the ninth inning, with this game well decided, Randy Arozarena got drilled. I think it was on purpose.
You mean just now?
Yeah, at the end of the game, yeah.
I don't know. That was, it looked like he was trying to throw something up and in. It missed a little bit. It didn't hit him solid enough. And they thought it hit his arm guard on the back of his tricep, but it actually hit his forearm, his left forearm. So, I mean, it was so barely connected to him. I can't say that it was intentional.
But Tiki, keep this in mind. Even when you don't hit a guy, doesn't mean you weren't trying to hit a guy. See Sean Estes. You know, like, just because Jake Cousins didn't throw the best Randy Arozarena pitch doesn't mean it didn't happen.
I just didn't feel like that was intentional. It just felt like it was a mistake. Now, it felt good from a Yankee standpoint.
Well,
hit Arozarena. Who cares?
Yeah. By the way, stay tuned for Baseball Night in New York, presented by Tri-State Cadillac, coming up next on SNY. That was a very quick show.
Thank you, SNY.
But that's the Yankees' fault, all right? They played a long game against the Rays. What can I tell you?
3 hours almost.
See you later, SNY. I'm sure we'll see you tomorrow for Mets-Yankees at the Hard Rock. Oh, wait, maybe we won't. The reason I thought it was on purpose, though, is because this was the final regular season meeting between the New York Yankees and the Tampa Bay Rays.
No retaliation available.
There's no retaliation available if you're drilling a guy in the ninth inning.
Great point.
With a 9-1 lead. And I think it's sneaky, but I think it's smart. Because I think if you're Aaron Boone, you don't want to get involved in any kind of beanball war.
And Tampa's probably cooked.
Yeah, they're not making the playoffs.
No, they're way out of the wild card right now. They're cooked.
And they're going to sell, too. Right. They're going to sell pieces off. So you're not even seeing them in the playoffs. Even if you did, by the way, I don't think you would see any kind of retaliation then. So I think that was the Yankees saying, you know what? I know we got the last lap because we had five home runs in this game. I know we Cadillac'd it around the bases. I get all that. But we're going to give you one final dig by drilling you. So I thought that that was on purpose. Am I crazy?
Maybe it was, but to me, it didn't look like it was on purpose. You know what I mean? Like, maybe he was trying to go up and inside and hit him, but the way that the ball kind of started in and it drifted out, it looked like it was on accident.
Mm.
But maybe it was on purpose. Who knows?
I also think, and
maybe
I'm not...
that's the skill. The skill is making an intentional beaning look like it was an accident.
Absolutely.
And I give him credit.
You never ran into somebody accidentally at a bar just to try to get her phone number?
All the time.
I mean, Louie's an expert on that. You try to make it look like an accident.
Sorry. Here's what you do.
You all right?
You
okay?
You knock the drink over.
So you have to buy her another one?
Bingo.
Ooh.
Was it effective solid. When you did that strategy?
Of course. They get a free drink out of it. You start a conversation. Damage.
Let's go to Jay in Tom's River. What's up, Jay?
Yo, Evan can never say the word pimping ever.
Why?
It's the whitest thing I ever heard in my life.
Sorry, big pimping.
Like, it was when he was talking about, you know, he shouldn't be pimping because, you know, they're up eight runs. And it was just, he shouldn't be pimping because he's up eight runs. It's, you know.
What if right now I started singing Big Pimpin' by Jay-Z? Would that bother you?
Oh, my. I mean, it would probably be fantastic radio, but, you know.
Is your problem with it, Jay, is that he puts the G on the end?
Yes.
Pimping.
Yes. It was like a hard G, you know?
He shouldn't be pimping.
Let me try this. Big Pimpin', we spendin' cheese. Big Pimpin' on BLAD, we doing Big Pimpin' up in NYC. I don't know how much I can actually say.
Just be careful. Hova didn't have FCC.
No, I'm stopping.
Now, how big a Met fan are you, Evan?
I think I'm a pretty big Met fan.
Whose walk-off song was Big Pimpin'?
Oh, I know. That's easy. Derek Bell.
No.
Derek Bell.
Jay Payton.
Derek Bell.
Jay Payton.
Derek Bell.
It was also Derek Bell.
Derek Bell.
I don't know.
It's 1,000% Derek Bell. Google it.
I don't think Google exists for that kind of
answer. Oh, watch this. I'm going to Google what was Derek Bell's walk-up song, Mets. And here it is. Big Pimpin'. Shut up. Trying to stump me on that.
Who were you saying?
He said Jay Payton.
Jay Payton.
What was Jay Payton's walk-up song?
Ah, let me look that one up.
According to this, we all make mistakes.
That would be awesome if Sean was dead-ass wrong.
No, he's definitely dead-ass wrong. I don't remember what Jay Payton's walk-up music was, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't that because...
I got to think I'm wrong now.
No, you're definitely wrong because here's how...
You were so confident. You hit him so confidently.
And so random, too. I learned about...
I knew a Met was that.
I learned about music through walk-up songs, you see? So Big Pimpin' became one of my favorite songs because of Derek Bell.
Yeah, Jay.
And that's a true story.
Jay is right. Jay couldn't have been more right at that call.
Oh, so you're saying I can't say Pimpin'?
You learned about Big Pimpin', that song, from walk-up songs.
Yes,
that
correct.
That was one of the biggest songs of whatever year that was,
2000.
2000, something like that.
Yeah, it was 2000, because Derek Bell was on the Mets that one year.
I wanted to own a boat after that music video.
Exactly.
And that's why Derek Bell had it as a walk-up song.
You didn't, you didn't have G's to spin.
No.
No, I wasn't even employed by Subway.
Derek Bell lived in a boat, true story, right outside of Shea Stadium, on that little water basin near LaGuardia Airport. But yeah, Tiki, I learned about music through Met walk-up songs. What's wrong with that? That's how I became, music savvy. Except I'm not music savvy. I'm convinced one day, and I don't know who it's going to be. I'm not sure what player it's going to be. I'm not sure the situation. Somebody's going to hit a home run. And to top everybody else by celebrating, they are going to strip naked as they are rounding the bases. And I'm not sure who's going to do it. But that's going to be like the next evolution in celebrating a home run. Like you get to second base and you just rip your clothes off. You know what was going on this weekend? People were doing the Trump celebration. Did you see that one?
No.
Yeah. I saw the Cardinals do it, and I saw somebody in the Yankee game do it.
And the Rays did it.
Didn't they say it wasn't a celebration? It was a birthday celebration.
Well, who said that?
The Cardinals. Somebody with the Cardinals said that.
They were holding their ear while pumping their fist saying, fight, fight, fight.
I thought for a second Orson Welles did it today, too, by the way.
He may have. I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe this is going to become a thing. But I did see a Ray player do it where he puts his fist up and he goes, fight, fight, fight.
Speaking of home runs and Trump, sort of, did you guys see who homered yesterday? Of course.
Nick Castellanos?
I mean, this guy, he never fails. Anytime there's a situation like this, Castellanos homers.
I don't understand, like, the fascination with this anymore. Like, so Nick Castellanos, for those that aren't aware, for background, I guess, when Tom Brenneman was suspended for saying, abhorrent language.
Yeah.
In the middle of his apology, Castellanos hit a home run. Became a very legendary moment. That he added the awkwardness to Tom Brenneman apologizing by hitting a home run. And you've got Tom Brenneman saying, and there's a drive to left field. Like in the middle of trying to save his broadcasting career. And so this has now become a thing that whenever something in the world happens, Nick Castellanos hits a home run. So what are we even referring to from yesterday? Biden resigning?
Biden resigned, and the last homer he hit was right after the Trump assassination attempt. And remember, his first ever minor league home run was the night Bin Laden was assassinated.
Yeah, I heard that's an urban legend. That's not true, by the way.
You're the one who read the box score from that a couple months ago.
Oh, did
the story.
I?
And you're the one who was the most fascinated with this story. And now you just uttered the words, I don't get what the big deal is.
No, I don't, because here's why. Here's why I've lost interest in this. What made his moment with Tom Brenneman so amazing was the awkwardness of it. Like, here's Tom Brenneman apologizing, begging to save his career, and he has to call a home run. When Tom McCarthy calls Castellanos' home run yesterday, there's no awkwardness about Joe Biden announcing he's not running again. So where's the... Or Tom Brenneman returning. There was an announcement yesterday that Tom Brenneman was returning. Okay. Like, but there wasn't any awkward broadcast, which is what made the Brenneman moment special. You guys see what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, that's just the most legendary. The point is, every time something major in the world happens during a baseball day, Castellanos home.
I know, but to me, it would only click is if the Philly announcers were saying, hey, we got amazing breaking news. First time since LBJ. Oh, by the way, there's a drive to left.
You're nipping.
Then I'm with you. But otherwise, it was just a home run on a Sunday. Who gives a rat's ass?
This is from the Tiki Grinch playbook. From you, Adam.
I'm being a Grinch?
Yes!
Yeah, you are a little bit. By the way, the Cardinals clarified that the Alec Burleson home run, their celebration was an homage to his days as a rapper. when he was in college.
Okay.
Called Biscuit.
Let me tell you this.
the name of one of my ferrets.
Biscuit?
Spaghetti and Biscuit.
I don't know Alec Burleson that well, other than the fact he killed me in fantasy a few weeks ago. But let me say this about him. He's lying to you.
I mean, maybe.
He's absolutely... Look.
Matt Carpenter is the one that clarified.
Well, Matt Carpenter's my boy, so I'm not going to say anything bad about Matt.
Matt Carpenter. Burleson didn't say anything.
Okay.
Matt Carpenter.
Yeah.
Clarify.
That makes more sense. I know Matt. Matt's a great guy. Matt Carpenter knows that everybody nowadays are sensitive biatches, right?
Yeah.
So if you do anything politically, doesn't even matter which way, the other side will cry about it. Like, for example, if an athlete says something political and you don't agree with their politics, you will say shut up and dribble. You will like it and admire that person if you agree with them politically. We're all a bunch of soft crybabies in 2024. And by the way, if you're listening, you know I'm right.
Facts.
So what happened was Matt Carpenter, as the veteran leader, went to the guys in the room and said, you're going to get backlash mm-hmm. from half the population that doesn't like him. And so Burleson said, okay, can you fix this, Matt? And Matt said, I got you. Like, I've been around forever.
Weren't
I know you, how to fix this.
Weren't you, for some reason, a rapper in college?
Yes.
And if you look at Alec Burleson, you're going to be like, that dude was a rapper?
Yeah, it's all a lie.
Okay, whatever.
That's Matt Carpenter being a fixer. That's him saying, I'm going to fix the fact that half the country is going to be offended by this, so I'm just going to make up a new story. But come on, guys. We know what was going on.
Tiki, you think after a few drinks, he changed his rap name to Limp Bizkit?
You're so proud of yourself.
I love
that. That was a good one.
By the way, for those that have missed the Cinco de Five-O, something you hear every day at 5 o'clock, we've got great news for the first time ever, debut here on the Evan and Tiki Show. It's the Cinco de Six-O.
Mm.
That's right. The Cinco de Six-O will debut in just 23 minutes. So I'm very excited about that.
Push back because of the Yankees.
So, I like Luis Severino. I wanted the Mets to sign Luis Severino. I'm glad they did. He's had a solid year with the New York Mets this year. But what he did the other day was stupid. It was really, really stupid, and I got a big problem with it. And if you missed it, Luis Severino publicly told all of us that in private text chats with some of his friends with the New York Yankees, that in response to some of the Yankee players kind of busting his you-know-whats by saying you're afraid of the Yankees, you're not pitching us against us again, Severino told them and then proceeded to tell all of us, you guys aren't any good, you have two good hitters.
Yeah.
That's essentially what he said.
Why would I be scared? You guys only have two hitters.
Yeah. If you want to say that...
It's kind of a good comeback.
Is it a good comeback?
Yeah, because it's true.
It's not even... Yes, it's true. Fine. Okay. It's true. We all know that. That's what Yankee fans have said on WFAN for the last 2 months. But why would you make that public? Because he's not friends with everybody on the New York Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like everybody takes it as a joke.
Yeah.
Ah, it's Seve being Seve. Look, he says that to Gleyber Torres. Gleyber's like, yeah, it's my guy Seve. Even Aaron Judge. But I don't know if he's friends with Juan Soto, and we have audio from Juan
Soto's
Soto.
One of the two, so it's fine.
Yeah, but Juan Soto's pissed off about it. You want to hear from Juan Soto?
Well, Juan Soto's going to do what Juan Soto does anyway.
I know,
it's all good.
But it doesn't make...
So who are you pissing off?
You're pissing off everybody.
You're pissing off not Volpe, he's too young, not Austin Wells, too young.
Why are you assuming that?
Because they're too young.
When you're young, you can't be pissed?
I'm sure you can, but what are you going to do about it?
Exactly.
That's so. It's DJ's in a slump, so DJ's maybe pissed off. Gleyber probably would, but they're friendly. He's probably on the text chat.
No, I agree.
So, I'm trying to think who could really be upset.
Every single person in the lineup can be upset because it's a slight on you. And by the way, Juan Soto and Aaron Judge would be upset. If someone took a shot at you or Sean or Lugie, I wouldn't view it as, oh, they weren't taking a shot at me. I would take it as they're taking a shot at us. Mm. And I think that Juan Soto is a good teammate.
Yeah.
Isn't going to say, oh, don't worry, he thinks I'm great. No, he's going to be pissed off. And I don't see the purpose of it. Like, jokes aside, Luis, here's my biggest issue with what you had to say. You're not even facing the Yankees, bro. So for you to come out and make any kind of disparaging comment about them, like, you don't have a chance to back it up. I'm sorry. Six scoreless innings against the Miami Marlins on a Saturday. Great. I enjoyed it. You don't get to shove it down the Yankees' throats. But you know who has to back up your big words? Jose Quintana does. Sean Manaea does.
Right.
And that's not fair. And trust me, I don't care how positive Tommy wants to spin it, the Yankees are coming for that ass. And they are going to score a lot of runs in the next 2 days. And mark my words, Met fans, you'll say it tomorrow. If you're not saying it today, your anger will be at Luis Severino for opening up his mouth for no damn reason.
Hmm. To be fair to Luis Severino, because that's my guy more than your guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was asked if he's ducking the Yankees.
I guess so.
But like, and he admitted that the Yankees were the ones poking fun at him.
Yes.
So I still had a problem with what he said, but it's not like he came out of the blue and said
it. Yeah, it's not like he preemptively said this and just said, I'm taking shots because you guys stink. They're trolling him.
But he shouldn't have made that public.
But he made it public. Did the Yankee players make it public that Luis Severino's ducking the Yankees? Did you hear any Yankee player bring that up publicly?
No.
So who made it public?
He did.
That's my point. There's no reason to. There's no reason to make this a thing because whether you like it or not, it's a thing now.
I just don't think it's a big deal. I just really don't.
So if the Yankees score,
I don't think that the Yankee players are so upset with Luis Severino that they're going to try extra hard.
It's not try extra
hard. By the way, if they do, that probably helps the Mets.
It's not try extra hard. It's motivation. It's the extra. It's like when Pete Alonso against the Braves last year said, throw it again.
I never bought into that. I just stating a record. The billboard, or the whatever, the pinboard material. Mm-hmm. I've never bought into that. Because if you're not motivated to be great every time you go out, why the hell are we paying you?
No, I think you're right in what you're saying, but at the end of the day, why give that opportunity
anybody else? It doesn't do anything. I'm just telling you it doesn't do anything.
So when the Yankees score 20 runs in the next 2 days, you're going to come on the radio, you're going to calm me down and say it has nothing to do with what Sevy said.
It has everything to do with your starting pitching sucking.
No, I know. I know that's what you're going to say.
That's what it'll come down to.
I know that's what you're going to say.
It's not going to come down. Oh, we were extra motivated because Sevy said we had no hitters.
It doesn't serve any good, though.
Yeah, from an interpretation standpoint, meaning a perception standpoint, meaning outside of those clubhouses standpoint, sure.
So then why say it?
Because he was being truthful. He was talking about a light moment between his former teammates, who he's still obviously friends with, because they control him, and he just trolls him right back. Right? It's just, I don't think it's a big deal.
Well, I think it is, and I got a problem with it. And I got a big problem that he doesn't even have a chance to back it up. Look, I don't blame Severino for not starting against the Yankees. Carlos Mendoza has a strategy. Mm-hmm. It worked out well at Citi Field a few weeks ago. The Yankees have struggled against lefties. So a few weeks ago, he threw David Peterson and Sean Manaea at them. The Yankees lost both games to the Mets.
Right.
They're doing the same thing, assuming Jose Quintana is feeling better, and there will be two lefties facing the Yankees tomorrow night and Wednesday night. I have no issue with Carlos Mendoza's strategy. I have an issue with Luis Severino says something and doesn't even have the chance to back it up. He puts his players, his teammates in a spot where they've got to hold down this Yankee lineup. Now, I haven't heard this yet, but Juan Soto was asked about this situation.
Yeah, there's two separate clips here, okay? I want to play the first clip where Soto subtly makes reference to it when asked about the offense coming alive today, and then he's actually firmly asked about the comments.
Hold on. So let me get this straight. Yeah. We're going to hear this. He wasn't even asked initially. He brought it up on his own.
Well, he brings up the two-hitter thing on his own, and then is asked.
Oh, sir.
At the end of the day, it's going to take more than two guys to go to the World Series and win it. I think when you see guys getting hot, like DJ swung the bat well today, Verdugo, Gokko, Panox, and I mean, it's just great to see those guys to start firing it up and try to get the team to the top again.
Yeah, he's pissed off. He brought that up on his own.
I think he was asked. I don't know what the question was.
So I will tell you, the question was, what is it like watching the offense all thrive like this again today? And he opens up with, well, it's going to take more than two guys. Oh. So that was the subtle shot. Then he is firmly asked, and I have this audio about Severino's comment.
Go ahead.
Did you hear what Severino said the other day and that people are making kind of a big deal of it? That this is a two-man offense, and what are your thoughts on that?
It is what it is. They can take whatever they want at the end of the day. We trust and believe in every single guy in here, and I think we have anything that we need to show them that we can do it. And I mean, we did it in the first half. Like, we dominated mostly of the first half. So I think when a team does that, I don't think it's only about one or two players. It takes every single guy in the lineup and our relievers, the bullpen, and everything. So I think it's not only two players team. I think it's they're a really good team right now.
That doesn't sound pissed to me.
Oh,
that sounds
pissed.
Practical.
Are you kidding me?
That sounds like a practical response to someone trying to troll the rest of his team.
Well, I'll tell you right now, Luis Severino, I hope you enjoyed your time in Queens. You're done here. Because when the Mets pursue Juan Soto in free agency, you're not going to be around. You're gone. And Soto's going to have a big 2 days. I'm going to put the over-under at 5.5 hits in the two-game series.
How many hits has he had the last 3 days?
No, I know. He's on fire. He hit 3 hits in this game earlier today, including 2 home runs, mm-hmm. one of which, and I thought this was fascinating, the home run he hit that went right down the right field line in the 7th inning.
Which looked foul because of the camera angle that we were watching. But
absolutely.
It was fair.
It looked foul. It was called fair. There was no review. It was caught on the fly by a Met fan, by a guy decked out in a Met jersey, spending their Monday afternoon at Yankee Stadium in a luxury suite. I didn't know what to think about that. A part of me was, ooh, that's a great omen for the future. But then the other part of me said, are you really, on a Monday afternoon, you've probably been given a free suite. Someone probably gave you those tickets. You're showing up to Yankee Stadium decked out in a Met jersey. I got to tell you, I found that disrespectful.
Yeah,
I would never do that.
Why would you do that?
Because you're looking for attention.
Wasn't the only one either. There was somebody
He was in a suite, right? This guy, he was in a suite that you were talking about, Evan, that caught the ball.
Yeah, the guy who caught the home run was sitting on the suite level right down the right field line. You could see it in the replay. Mm-hmm. Made a nice catch. He's wearing a blue Met jersey for a Yankees-Rays game.
And somebody right behind the plate first base the entire game we kept seeing with a Met blue jersey on too. So multiple heathens walked into this stadium today on a Yankee-Ray game in luxury seats, 2 of them. One of them lucky enough to catch a home run ball.
It's just so bizarre to me.
That energy the next 2 days.
I don't understand the thinking behind that. And by the way, stop being Mr. Tough Guy, Sean. Yankee fans do it at Citi Field all the time.
Of course, and we're losers.
I don't understand that. Like, you're at a sporting event, your team's not even playing.
Yeah, don't you have another t-shirt?
We're just wearing...
That has anything on it?
We're non-sports stuff.
Right.
Like, why do you... And I know this is me talking. How do you feel the need on a Monday afternoon at a Yankee-Rays game, 40,000 people, beautiful crowd, to say, look at me, here's my Met jersey.
Maybe they're just looking for confrontation. Because some people are just naturally confrontational.
You know what this reminds me of?
And they want confrontation.
Well, see, I don't understand that.
I don't either, but why else would you do it? I'm trying to think of the reason that you would wear the in-town rivals jersey to a game that they're not playing in.
Can I give you a comparison and tell me if this one works or
not?
Go ahead. I'm going to warn you, we're going back down that road again.
All right, let's hear it.
Why would you put signs in your front yard telling the world who you're voting for in November? Like, what? Why? I don't care who you're voting for. Nobody cares who you're voting for.
You like eggs on your house?
Yeah, isn't that what it's inviting?
Right, seriously.
Like, why would you wear a Rondé Barber jersey to Philadelphia?
Because you're trying to get tiki on TMZ.
Because you're trying to get punched?
And it worked.
And it worked.
I do not understand this. I was driving home the other day, and I have never seen this kind of extensive setup. It was like Halloween. Not only were there signs for one of the candidates, there was a blow-up doll of one of the candidates. It was a real-life blow-up doll. And I'm thinking to myself, why? Now, I admit, there was a time back in 2004 where I put a bumper sticker on my car. Okay? And I'll tell you exactly what the bumper sticker said. I'll be perfectly honest. It said Bush Cheney. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Put it on my bumpers. Put it on my car. All right? Bush Cheney. The first day, I'm not even kidding you, it was day one of this stupid bumper sticker on my car. I come back to my car after going to a movie, and every morsel of my car is scratched. Now, keep this in mind.
Wow.
That's 2004. Now we're in 2024. So whether it's Kamala Harris, who, by the way, spoiler alert, she's going to be the nominee.
Right.
Whether it's Donald Trump, even if it's RFK. Why? You're inviting yourself for some schmuck who doesn't like your politics to run out of your yard, urinate all over the place, and throw eggs at your window. Why would you even do it to yourself?
You're that energetic about it. By the way, President Biden did call into her campaign event.
Oh, yeah.
So he has been heard from.
So he's around?
He has been heard from.
Good to hear.
Finally.
I'm glad to hear that. But do you think that's the same, like putting billboards of a candidate on your yard is the same as wearing a jersey of a baseball team to a ballpark?
Well, no, because it's your yard. It'd be like taking those signs and going sticking them in somebody else's yard.
Oh, yeah, that's worse.
That's what it feels like.
Imagine
by the way, that happens. I see people doing that.
Are you serious? Just,
and it's not the national election. It's not the presidential election. But you see it for, like, local politicians. Someone just walking around, sticking things in people's yards.
Really?
And it's like, dude, how do you know that person supports
that
candidate? You don't. You just I see it all the time.
Oh, I don't like that.
I hate it.
You know what I would say? If you want to stick a sign in my yard, I don't care who it's for, I'll do it, but you better pay me. If I'm going to be a walking billboard for your dopey candidacy or for whatever you want, send me a check.
$5 a day.
And I'll consider $5 a day, my ass. Be a lot more than that. You want me to put a sign in my yard? I'll be a walking billboard. Now pay me. Pay me, bitches, is the way I would phrase it.
Sure you can, but what are you going to do about it?
Exactly.
That's so. It's DJ's in a slump, so DJ's maybe pissed off. Glaber probably would, but they're friendly. He's probably on the text chat.
No, I agree.
So, I'm trying to think who could really be upset.
Every single person in the lineup can be upset because it's a slight on you. And by the way, Juan Soto and Aaron Judge would be upset. If someone took a shot at you or Sean or Lugie, I wouldn't view it as, oh, they weren't taking a shot at me. I would have taken it as they're taking a shot at us. Mm. And I think that Juan Soto is a good teammate.
Yeah.
Isn't going to say, oh, don't worry, he thinks I'm great. No, he's going to be pissed off. And I don't see the purpose of it. Like, jokes aside, Luis, here's my biggest issue with what you had to say. You're not even facing the Yankees, bro. So for you to come out and make any kind of disparaging comment about them, like, you don't have a chance to back it up. I'm sorry. 6 scoreless innings against the Miami Marlins on a Saturday. Great. I enjoyed it. You don't get to shove it down the Yankees' throats. But you know who has to back up your big words? Jose Quintana does. Sean Manaea does.
Right.
And that's not fair. And trust me, I don't care how positive Tommy wants to spin it, the Yankees are coming for that ass. And they are going to score a lot of runs in the next 2 days. And mark my words, Met fans, you'll say it tomorrow. If you're not saying it today, your anger will be at Luis Severino for opening up his mouth for no damn reason.
Hmm. To be fair to Luis Severino, because that's my guy more than your guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was asked if he's ducking the Yankees.
I guess so.
But like, and he admitted that the Yankees were the ones poking fun at him.
Yes.
So I still had a problem with what he said, okay, but it's not like he came out of the blue and said
it. It's not like he preemptively said this and just said, I'm taking shots because you guys stink. They're trolling him.
But so he shouldn't have made that back. Public.
But he made it public. Did the Yankee players make it public that Luis Severino's ducking the Yankees? Did you hear any Yankee player bring that up publicly?
No.
So who made it public?
But he did.
That's my point. There's no reason to. There's no reason to make this a thing because whether you like it or not, it's a thing now.
I just don't think it's a big deal. I just really don't.
So if the Yankees score.
I don't think that the Yankee players are so upset with Luis Severino that they're going to try extra hard.
It's not try extra hard.
By the way, if they do, that probably helps the Mets.
It's not try extra hard. It's motivation. It's the extra. It's like when Pete Alonso against the Braves last year said, throw it again.
I never bought into that. I just stating the record. The billboard, or the whatever, the pinboard material. Mm-hmm. I've never bought into that. Because if you're not motivated to be great every time you go out, why the hell are we paying you?
No, I think you're right in what you're saying, but at the end of the day, why give that opportunity to
anybody
else? But
it doesn't do anything. I'm just telling you it doesn't do anything.
So when the Yankees score 20 runs in the next 2 days, you're going to come on the radio, you're going to calm me down and say it has nothing to do with what Sevy said.
It has everything to do with your starting pitching sucking.
Yeah, I know. I know that's what you're going to say.
That's what it'll come down to.
I know that's what you're going to say.
It's not going to come down. Oh, we were extra motivated because Sevy said we had no hitters.
It doesn't serve any good, though.
Yeah, from an interpretation standpoint, meaning a perception standpoint, meaning outside of those clubhouses standpoint, sure.
So then why say it?
Because he was being truthful. He was talking about a light moment between his former teammates, who he's still obviously friends with, because they control him, and he just trolls them right back. Right? It's just, I don't think it's a big deal.
Well, I think it is, and I got a problem with it. And I got a big problem that he doesn't even have a chance to back it up. Look, I don't blame Severino for not starting against the Yankees. Carlos Mendoza has a strategy. Mm-hmm. It worked out well at Citi Field a few weeks ago. The Yankees have struggled against lefties. So a few weeks ago, he threw David Peterson and Sean Manaea at them. The Yankees lost both games to the Mets.
Right.
They're doing the same thing, assuming Jose Quintana's feeling better, and there will be two lefties facing the Yankees tomorrow night and Wednesday night. I have no issue with Carlos Mendoza's strategy. I have an issue with Luis Severino says something and doesn't even have the chance to back it up. He puts his players, his teammates in a spot where they've got to hold down this Yankee lineup. Now, I haven't heard this yet, but Juan Soto was asked about this situation.
Yeah, there's two separate clips here, okay? I want to play the first clip where Soto subtly makes reference to it when asked about the offense coming alive today, and then he's actually firmly asked about the comments.
Hold on. So let me get this straight. Yeah. We're going to hear this. He wasn't even asked initially. He brought it up on his own.
Well, he brings up the two-hitter thing on his own,
sure.
And then is asked.
Oh, sure.
At the end of the day, it's going to take more than two guys to go to the World Series and win it. I think when you see guys getting hot, like DJ swung the bat well today, Verdugo, Gokko, Panox, and I mean, it's just great to see those guys to start firing it up and try to get the team to the top again.
Yeah, he's pissed off. He brought that up on his own.
I think he was asked. I don't know what the question was.
So I will tell you, the question was, what is it like watching the offense all thrive like this again today? And he opens up with, well, it's going to take more than two guys.
Oh.
So that was the subtle shot. Then he is firmly asked, and I have this audio about Severino's comment.
Go ahead.
Did you hear what Severino said the other day, and that people were making kind of a big deal of it, that this is a two-man offense, and what are your thoughts on that?
It is what it is. They can think whatever they want at the end of the day. We trust and believe in every single guy in here, and I think we have anything that we need to show them that we can do it. And I mean, we did it in the first half. Like, we dominated mostly of the first half. So I think when a team does that, I don't think it's only about one or two players. It takes every single guy in the lineup and our relievers, the bullpen, and everything. So I think it's not only two players team. I think it's. They're a really good team right now.
That doesn't sound pissed to me.
Oh,
that sounds
pissed.
Practical.
Are you kidding me?
That sounds like a practical response to someone trying to troll the rest of his team.
Well, I'll tell you right now, Luis Severino, I hope you enjoyed your time in Queens. You're done here. Because when the Mets pursue Juan Soto in free agency, you're not going to be around. You're gone. And Soto's going to have a big 2 days. I'm going to put the over-under at 5.5 hits in the two-game series.
How many hits has he had the last 3 days?
No, I know. He's on fire. He hit 3 hits in this game earlier today, including 2 home runs, mm-hmm. One of which, and I thought this was fascinating, the home run he hit that went right down the right field line in the 7th inning.
Which looked foul because of the camera angle that we were watching.
Absolutely.
But it was fair.
It looked foul. It was called fair. There was no review. It was caught on the fly by a Met fan, by a guy decked out in a Met jersey, spending their Monday afternoon at Yankee Stadium in a luxury suite. I didn't know what to think about that. A part of me was, ooh, that's a great omen for the future. But then the other part of me said, are you really, on a Monday afternoon, you've probably been given a free suite. Someone probably gave you those tickets. You're showing up to Yankee Stadium decked out in a Met jersey. I got to tell you, I found that disrespectful.
Yeah,
I would never
would
do that.
Why would you do that?
Because you're looking for attention. That's what it is.
Wasn't the only one either. There was somebody
in
Legends.
He was in a suite, right? This guy, he was in a suite that you were talking about, Evan, that caught the ball.
Yeah, the guy who caught the home run was sitting on the suite level right down the right field line. You could see it in the replay. Mm-hmm. Made a nice catch. He's wearing a blue Met jersey for a Yankees-Rays game.
And somebody right behind the plate first base the entire game, we kept seeing with a Met blue jersey on too. So multiple heathens walked into this stadium today on a Yankee-Ray game in luxury seats, two of them.
And it's just
one of
so
them
bizarre.
Lucky enough to catch a home run ball.
It's just so bizarre to me.
I bring that energy the next 2 days.
I don't understand the thinking behind that. And by the way, stop being Mr. Tough Guy, Sean. Yankee fans do it at Citi Field all
of
the time.
Of course, and we're losers.
I don't understand that. Like, you're at a sporting event. Your team's not even playing.
Yeah, don't you have another T-shirt?
We're just wearing...
That has anything on it?
We're non-sports stuff.
Right.
Like, why do you... And I know this is me talking. How do you feel the need on a Monday afternoon at a Yankee-Rays game, 40,000 people, beautiful crowd, to say, look at me, here's my Met jersey.
Maybe they're just looking for confrontation. Because some people are just naturally confrontational.
You know what this reminds me?
And they want confrontation.
Well, see, I don't understand that.
I don't either, but why else would you do it? I'm trying to think of the reason that you would wear the in-town rivals jersey to a game that they're not playing in.
Can I give you a comparison and tell me if this one works or not?
Go ahead.
I'm going to warn you, we're going back down that road again.
All right, let's hear it.
Why would you put signs in your front yard telling the world who you're voting for in November. Like, what? Why? I don't care who you're voting for. Nobody cares who you're voting for.
You like eggs on your house?
Yeah, isn't that what it's inviting?
Right, seriously.
Like, why would you wear a Rondé Barber jersey to Philadelphia?
Because you're trying to get tiki on TMZ.
Because you're trying to get punched?
And it worked.
And it worked. Yes,
I do not understand this. I was driving home the other day, and I have never seen this kind of extensive setup. It was like Halloween. Not only were there signs for one of the candidates, there was a blow-up doll of one of the candidates. It was a real-life blow-up doll. And I'm thinking to myself, why? Now, I admit, there was a time back in 2004 where I put a bumper sticker on my car. Okay? And I'll tell you exactly what the bumper sticker said. I'll be perfectly honest. It said Bush Cheney. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Put it on my bumpers. Put it on my car. All right? Bush Cheney. The first day, I'm not even kidding you, it was day one of this stupid bumper sticker on my car. I come back to my car after going to a movie, and every morsel of my car is scratched. Now keep this in mind. Wow. That's 2004. Now we're in 2024. So whether it's Kamala Harris, who, by the way, spoiler alert, she's going to be the nominee.
Right.
Whether it's Donald Trump, whether even if it's RFK. Why? You're inviting yourself for some schmuck who doesn't like your politics to run out of your yard, urinate all over the place, and throw eggs at your window. Why would you even do it to yourself? I don't understand
it. You're that energetic about it. By the way, President Biden did call into her campaign event.
Oh, yeah.
So he has been heard from.
So he's around?
He has been heard from.
Good to hear.
Finally.
I'm glad to hear that. But do you think that's the same, like putting billboards of a candidate on your yard is the same as wearing a jersey of a baseball team to a ballpark?
Well, no, because it's your yard. It'd be like taking those signs and sticking them in somebody else's yard.
Oh, yeah, that's worse.
That's what it feels like.
Imagine
doing that. That happens. I see people doing that.
Are you serious?
And it's not the national election. It's not the presidential election. But you see it for, like, local politicians. Someone just walking around, sticking things in people's yards.
Really?
And it's like, dude, how do you know that person supports
how do you know that
candidate? You don't. I see it all the time.
Oh, I don't like that.
I hate it.
You know what I would say? If you want to stick a sign in my yard, I don't care who it's for, I'll do it, but you better pay me. If I'm going to be a walking billboard for your dopey candidacy or for whatever you want, send me a check.
$5 a day.
And I'll consider $5 a day, my ass. I mean, a lot more than that. You want me to put a sign in my yard? I'll be a walking billboard. Now pay me. Pay me, bitches, is the way I would phrase it.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.